It's May 1st, Happy May Day, or Beltane for our Gaelic listeners. We're just about at the midpoint between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. It's planting season here in Pennsylvania, and farmers are prepping the fields and getting ready to plant. Speaking of prepping fields and planting seeds, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture has been doing just that for the hemp industry here in the state for a few years now. First with the Hemp Research Pilot Program, and then more recently by lifting the acreage cap for the hemp growers. So 2019 is basically where we take the training wheels off and we see what this industry can do. This is the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. I am your host, Eric Herlock. And on today's show, we check in with the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. We'll get an overview of the hemp program from Press Secretary Shannon Powers. Then we'll talk THC testing with Sarah Pickle. And finally, we'll talk to Fred Strathmeyer about financial services, crop insurance, and that recommended 3-mile radius around hemp farms. But first, a few nuggets of hemp news. Okay, first thing. There was a story in the Associated Press yesterday, and I quote, "Canadian cannabis business giant Canopy Growth announced Monday that it has selected a former ShopVac factory in Kirkwood, New York, for its Binghamton area operations," end quote. Now, you'll remember that we spoke to Canopy Growth Vice President Jordan Sinclair back in January when Canopy announced that it was making a $150 million investment in building a hemp industry park somewhere in the southern tier of New York. So now we know where, the town of Kirkwood. It's notable that another company, Southern Tier Hemp, is also setting up shop in nearby Johnson City, making this southern tier region of New York quite the center for hemp production in the Empire State. You may also remember that Canopy Growth recently bought the Pennsylvania hemp company AgriNext USA, which was founded by Jeff Whaling, who you might remember from episode 2, has a vision to make southeastern Pennsylvania an epicenter of hemp production. So I am waiting patiently for the announcement that Canopy Growth will open some kind of hemp industry park here in our neck of the woods. Okay, next thing. Last week, I mentioned briefly at the top of the show that the USDA is now accepting applications for seed-propagated hemp for plant variety protection. Okay, so this is from the USDA's website. The Plant Variety Protection Office provides intellectual property protection to breeders of new varieties of seeds and tubers. Implementing the Plant Variety Protection Act, the PVPO examines new applications and grants certificates that protect varieties for 20 years. Certificate owners have rights to exclude others from marketing and selling their varieties, manage the use of their varieties by other breeders, and enjoy legal protection of their work. That sounds like good news for hemp farmers, and more specifically for those hemp farmers who are involved in hemp genetics and developing their own varieties. Okay, last nugget of hemp news. This is podcast related. I just wanted to give you, the listener, a heads up that sometime in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start running ads on the show. Now, if you're anything like me, you've probably really enjoyed our lack of advertising here, but in effort to keep the lights on, we're going to put a few ads in the show. Probably short ones in the beginning, something in the middle, okay? But I make this pledge to you, dear listener, that these ads won't be intrusive, and as much as I can control it, these ads will be relevant and useful to you as hemp farmers or cannabis professionals. That said, I'm also exploring the idea of sponsored content spots, where we go a little more in-depth with an advertiser to make a short segment to shine a light on their business. So if you feel strongly about this one way or the other, hit me up at podcast@lancasterfarming.com. Would love to hear from you. And if you're interested in doing one of those sponsored content spots, get in touch. Okay, let's get into the show. Let's go talk to the PDA. Shannon Powers, Press Secretary at the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Welcome to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. Now, I know your office is super busy with everything that your department does, not to mention all the hemp stuff you're doing now. So I thank you for taking the time today to talk with us.
Thank you.
So first, can you bring us up to speed on hemp in Pennsylvania? How many applications have you received, and how does that translate into potential acreage for the state this year?
We are upwards of 215 applications last I heard. I don't think that we've calculated the number of acres, but I do know the sort of the epicenter of sites is Lancaster County. Last count I heard, there were more than 80 growing sites just in Lancaster County.
Wow, that's great. Go Lancaster. Okay, so as you can imagine, I talk to a lot of hemp farmers, and I get the sense from them that they feel very supported by the Department of Ag. So I'm wondering, what are the main areas that you're focusing on that seem to be making a difference to farmers here?
Well, it's really great to hear that farmers feel supported. I know there are some farmers who are very cautious, more than cautiously optimistic, which is what we are, but they're very cautious of entering into a new venture where there's so much unknown. But that's where we are. We wanted to get ahead of the game and make sure that Pennsylvania farmers don't miss out on this opportunity, because we think there is a tremendous opportunity there given the history of hemp in PA. At one point, it was such a tremendously important crop. But with 80 years of its absence from Pennsylvania's landscape, there's a lot of unknown.
Sure.
What we've been trying to do is fill in those unknowns with our research project. Over the past 2 years, we've had some really interesting findings, and findings that are still to come about what's best to use to harvest different varieties of the crop, for instance, about industrial uses. There just seem to be an unlimited number of uses for hemp, and sort of some of the scientists looking into it are looking at different possibilities for hemp that we wouldn't have thought of before. For example, finding out that it's tremendously good at soil restoration, particularly where the soil is contaminated with things like heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of exciting knowledge and filling in that R&D gap of 80 years, but a lot to go.
So as press secretary, you must get a lot of questions from people outside of agriculture. So what do people on the outside want to know about hemp?
Well, it's interesting. The gaps in people's knowledge, you know, people don't think about when you hear agronomy. To average person on the street, they have no idea what you're talking about,
right?
Then, and they don't know the science behind proper field conditions, behind, you know, what varieties will grow under which conditions, or that even different varieties of a plant seed yield the best plant for a particular product. So folks are surprised about everything from, you know, the science behind controlling the pests, or that, you know, you can't just bomb a crop with chemicals and get rid of the pests without harming everything else in the environment, everything else that shares the environment, like pets and children and neighbors.
Yeah, it seems like everything's connected.
You know, folks are really interested in, you know, what is hemp? There still is a lot of confusion lingering about how this can be a different variety of the same plant that marijuana comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But this plant does not get you high. It doesn't have that chemical. It has very trace amounts of THC. So there still is lingering confusion out there that hemp is not marijuana, and that hemp is something that's grown all over the world for fiber and for other purposes. A lot of confusion surrounding CBD oil, for example, that does require, you know, a specific variety of hemp plant, but it yields a product that, you know, there's a lot of spurious claims out there. They may be valid claims, but we don't know that yet because the research is not in. We don't know, for example, you know, there's all these health claims about CBD oil and its, you know, all the things that it can cure or help with. But we don't know, for example, what other, you know, we don't know about concentrations, for example, as a food additive. We don't know how it would affect the liver, what dosages are proper, all those things that the FDA is researching now in order to approve hemp for health and medicinal purposes.
Right.
So anyway, a lot of unknowns out there that we built our research program to try and fill in some of those unknowns and to give producers the information they need in order to make business decisions about growing hemp.
So I've been hearing a bit lately about what's being called the Pennsylvania Farm Bill. Can you explain what that is and how will that affect hemp farmers here in the state?
Absolutely. As part of the Farm Bill is a $24 million package of investments that's, you know, it's tied to the budget, so it's part of Governor Wolf's budget proposal. But it includes a number of pieces of legislation that are being introduced, basically to address some of the challenges our agriculture and industry faces and some of the opportunities, like hemp, for example. Specific to hemp, one piece is we're proposing a state-level specialty crop block grant program. And that's a proposed brand new program funded at $500,000 to invest in the development of specialty crops like hemp, like hops, things that farmers are growing in response to consumer trends.
All right, Shannon Powers, Press Secretary at the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Thank you. Our next guest is Sarah Pickle, also from the PDA. Sarah Pickle, welcome to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks. Glad to be part of it.
First, can you tell us a bit about the work you do and your role in the hemp program?
Okay, sure. So I'm one of the program staffers with the Bureau of Plant Industry. We operate the hemp permitting process. So in my role is to facilitate the permitting. We take in applications and enter the information, just kind of navigate people through that process. And once we get the permitting process done, then we work with growers to visit some farms. We'll be doing some sampling, actually getting to see some of the farms and do some of our regulatory component, the THC testing for our regulatory purposes. So we kind of run the whole gamut of the program.
Okay. So I understand that this year there's a change in the testing protocol, that you're going from a Delta 9 THC to a total THC test. Can you explain what that means and what effect it will have on growers?
Sure. So, and really the testing on our part really hasn't changed. It's just sort of the understanding of it. So we test for the total Delta 9 THC, so that total THC testing takes into account THCA. So it goes through a decarboxylation process. So it actually converts the THCA into Delta 9 THC. So, and then we're testing the total amount. So some of the analysis that you see separates THCA and THC. So our testing accounts for both of those.
What part of the plant are you testing, and where in the growing cycle do you do that test?
Okay, so we are targeting the floral material of the plant. Now it does depend on some of our growers are doing different processes. We have done some full plant THC for some of our smaller plants. We have some people that have sold hemp microgreens. Mm-hmm. So in that case, they're not getting really past the seedling stage. So we have actually tested that material, but our target test is for the flower material, where the cannabinoids are chiefly located. So we are targeting that testing ideally at a range of 70 to 80 days after planting is when we're going out and doing our regulatory testing.
And you're doing like a random test, right?
Correct. Because of the scale of the program, and our first years of the program, first year we had 16 permit holders, and last year we had 35. So we were able to actually visit each of the participants. So this year we're going to be doing a random selection of the growers to visit a percentage of them.
Can you recommend any best practices that growers can follow to make sure that their crop stays in compliance with the testing requirements?
Well, we do recommend that they, the growers do their own testing as well, you know, so reaching out to laboratories, because it's such a new area, they're needing to do some research to locate places that will do analysis for them, but so they can be testing along the process, and, you know, just be doing that testing so they're, you know, so they're aware of what their crop is doing.
I did talk to some growers who had trouble with the third-party testing last year. Like, there were in-state testing labs that would not accept any industrial hemp, and these growers had to send their samples out of state. Do you think they're going to run into that same situation this year?
There could be some challenges because the way our program is separate from the Department of Health's program. Some of the laboratories that are testing for Department of Health medical marijuana program, mm-hmm. In those laboratory facilities, they're not allowed to, in that chain, they're not allowed to accept industrial hemp samples. Now, if they have a separate testing, they could be working with our growers. So okay. It could still prove to be a challenge. We've, you know, had some contacts of people that are interested in bringing testing into the state, working with growers. So we'd like, you know, hopefully we'll be seeing that expand. But they are able to send samples out of state to other laboratories. And now that the 2018 Farm Bill change the legal status, moving across state lines will be easier.
Okay. But it sounds like a business opportunity for some testing agencies here in Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the course of action if a crop does test hot? What's the legal procedure?
So we will, if we visit a site and we get a sample that is over the 0.3 limit, we will go back and do a retest. So that's our first step. And then if it does test over the 0.3 THC percentage, then we will go back and it will be a crop destruct. The method of that, maybe to be determined yet, but we will be working with them to devitalize the crop.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that could be a lot of wasted biomass if that had to be destroyed. I don't know.
Right, potentially. So there may be opportunities to destroy it in a way that doesn't, completely, have them completely lose their investment. But that, like I said, we're still in that process of determining.
Okay.
You know, to use it in potentially in other industrial uses. We'll be working to determine that.
Okay. Now, so you're out in the field and you talk to a lot of farmers. What questions do they ask you that could be of benefit to our listeners here? Is there anything else that we should discuss?
We do have growers that are just wanting to understand the requirements of the crop, because it is a new crop to Pennsylvania. So some of our participants in the research programs in previous years, we have some universities who are involved, some farmers, the Penn State University operating in Landsville last year,
right.
And Rock Springs the first year, did some work to do some nutritional determination, the needs, the agronomic needs of the crop.
Okay.
So they do have that information available online. They have a hemp production guide article, which we would direct people to. Rodale Institute has also done had done research in the first 2 years and provide some of that online. So those are some of the sources we're, you know, we can direct people to, you know, so, and also some of the other states that have done the research in years prior to us as well. So they're looking for some crop information that we try to connect them with those sources.
I can put links to those resources on the show page for this episode.
Okay, sure. I can share those with you. You know, the other question that we get a lot is about sources or seed sources. So some of, you know, because it's new in our state, we're working with other state agencies to direct people to sources. So some of the other state Department of Agriculture's have been good resources, Kentucky Department of Ag and Colorado Department of Ag, but we'd like to see a Pennsylvania source of hemp seed be available, and there are farmers who are interested in working with our seed program to grow certified seed in Pennsylvania. So that's something we would like to encourage and see happen. So that in future years, we can direct them to Pennsylvania sources.
Okay. All right. Sarah Pickle from the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Thanks. Next up, we'll talk to Fred Strathmeyer. Good morning, Fred Strathmeyer. Welcome to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you are the Deputy Secretary for Plant Industry and Consumer Protection. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay, so you're involved in the hemp program. Can you give us an overview of the work that you've been doing?
Sure. I mean, the overview is that I've been working with staff, Sarah and several other people here, along with, you know, some of our team here on as far as our executive team, to make sure that, as you mentioned earlier, that this this crop is something that farmers understand better. We've been trying to make sure that we're supporting the program in a way that there's success. Ultimately, this needs to be a crop that is a profitable one for these farming operations. And so we've tried to make sure that those doors are open, and certainly our eyes and ears are open to suggestions as we've moved through the program for the last 2 years now, and entering the third year, it will add to some of the challenges that both Shannon and Sarah referred to earlier for you.
Sure, but what about some of the other challenges they're facing, like financial services and crop insurance? Where do we stand in the state with those?
So it's because of the newness and because of the interpretation of the Farm Bill, 2018 Farm Bill, it seems to make things fairly clear that, as indicated, you're able to freely move between states, the commerce. The catch-up right now is financial institutions are still finding their feet to figure out what is allowed and not allowed. So there's still some guidance needed by the Federal Reserve. Even here in the state, we've done what I believe to be a decent job of, a good job, not a decent job, but a good job of trying to communicate to the local state banks and institutions of where we stand on that. And that is, you know, again, it's a legal crop per the Farm Bill, 2018 Farm Bill. And so consequently, doing business as any other farm commodity is certainly permissible. It's right now, it's more in the hands of the Federal Reserve to get a little bit more clarity out there. And we are working with that group to try to, you know, get guidance out to our farmers, and not to the farmers alone, but to really to the banks and the lending institutions, to make it a more of a free market moment for everyone.
Okay.
As far as insurance, for those of people that understand insurance, there has to be some type of pattern. There has to be some kind of history. And as Shannon indicated, it's been 80 years since we've had hemp here in Pennsylvania as a crop. And so there's really no history for insurance companies to fall back on. for what they need to actually insure. And so there are a few, what we've heard is there are a few insurance companies out there that are trying to hedge and get into insuring hemp. But as a whole, it's an area that is going to need a little bit of work in the next year or two to try to get more of a full range insurance, crop insurance for them. Again, I will say to you is that the Farm Bill does allow for crop insurance. It's just that they need to get there, and they're not quite there yet.
Okay, how about processing power here in the state? You know, we've heard about the Groff North American hemp train that's going in out in York County. And then I believe there's a processor in Pittsburgh and then a few other various CBD processing facilities. Can you talk about what the state is doing to bring in more processing power?
Sure. You've basically mentioned the lay of the land for processing. The first 2 years, as noted, were research years. So consequently, there was not, I'll say, a need for processing here in the state. That day has changed. We are allowing for commercialization of hemp, and so consequently, those processing plants are the key to success. The growers need a place to go for the material, and so we've been encouraging and have been approached by several different organizations and companies that would like to set up shop here in Pennsylvania, and we're very encouraged by the quality of the people that are coming to us to talk about processing and setting up that part of what has to happen in the business plan. So yeah, we're real encouraged by it, and moving forward, if there's a good thing right now is that if some of them can get established before the fall, that will allow for a place for the growers now to go. As you mentioned, Groff North America is setting up in Red Lion, Pennsylvania, York County, mm-hmm. bringing in what's called Hemp Train, which is a machine that will do the processing for the growers. But that is, as you indicate, that's only one site. There is absolutely a need, and certainly the doors wide open for processors to get here to establish themselves and move forward.
So I tuned into the USDA listening session back in March, and I heard your comments, and you mentioned something about a recommended 3-mile radius between growing sites. Is this still something that your department is recommending?
Yeah, well, in the research end of it, the first 2 years, part of the application was, you know, letting us know what they were doing, meaning what type of research. Mm-hmm. Even in that process, we needed to make sure that we respected the investment that people have made in medical marijuana. So through some research, we came up with a 3-mile radius that was recommended and tried to adhere to that the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. The difficult part, and we still are recommending the 3-mile radius. The difficult part this year, now that there have been more participants in the program, is that we did not and do not have a solid information as to what is being grown, you know, for what. Meaning, are they growing for CBDs? Are they growing for certified seed? Is it just for fiber? Mm-hmm. So that will be part of, as we roll out the program going forward, that will be part of that fine tuning that we will do here at the state to make sure that there's not at least a minimal amount of ability for contamination moving forward in the program. And so respecting everybody's investment in what they're doing with the hemp industry.
Yeah, you could see how things could start to get ugly. You know, someone's growing for seed or fiber, and then their pollen's out on the wind, hits a CBD farm.
Correct. It's not necessarily an easy thing. We know from even from the pesticide drift issues that we have from time to time, that 3 miles sometimes isn't enough, but we had to start somewhere. And sure. And based on the research we did, it seemed like that was a legitimate place to start.
Right. So is there anything else you would like our listeners to know, Fred?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing I'd like them to know is that anything that they can do to educate themselves about the crop, and I'm not just talking the farmers that are going to grow it, but I'd also appeal to anybody in the public sector, is to try to educate themselves on hemp, the value of it, the different uses, as were indicated earlier. It is certainly a crop that for Pennsylvania, we look to be a leader moving forward. And there's a lot of opportunity in many segments, not just the CBD area, but the fiber area. And the fiber area begins to really open the doors to a lot of different companies, projects that can be advocated for moving into the future. So it's a crop with multiple uses, and we're very excited about the opportunity for Pennsylvanians, for our farmers, and we look forward to successful years to come going forward.
Absolutely. Okay, well, Fred Strathmeyer, thank you very much for your time today.
Appreciated being here. Thank you for asking.
Okay, thanks again to Shannon Powers and Sarah Pickle for joining us today. And special thanks to Shannon for helping me schedule everybody for today's show. Thank you. So that does it for me. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at @LFPodcastHemp. Remember, you can check out past episodes of the show at lancasterfarming.com, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify. And please, please, if you enjoy the show, please share it with just one other person in your life. My name is Eric Herlock, digital editor at Lancaster Farming, and until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper.
Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp. Industrial hemp.
Today's show, episode 33 of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast, is copyright 2019, Lancaster Farming. Lancaster Farming is a member of the Steinman Communications family. Today's show was written, recorded, edited, and produced by Eric Herlock. Any music you hear is courtesy of Tin Bird Shadow.